This is special coverage from NPR News. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. We're here in Washington and awaiting a news conference by President Obama beginning in the next couple of minutes, we're told, at which he will discuss yesterday's bombing, yesterday's double attack on the Boston Marathon. This was a pair of improvised explosive devices. That is the term that experts are using to describe these relatively unsophisticated devices. In the grand scale of things, there have been deadlier attacks. Three people are reported killed. But in terms of the horror and the reach of this attack, it was extreme. And here's President Obama.
FBI Director Mueller, Attorney General Holder, Secretary Napolitano, and my counterterrorism and Homeland Security Advisor Lisa Monaco on the attacks in Boston. We continue to mobilize and deploy all appropriate law enforcement resources to protect our citizens and investigate and to respond to this attack. Obviously, our first thoughts this morning are with the victims, their families, and the city of Boston. We know that two explosions gravely wounded dozens of Americans and took the lives of others, including an 8-year-old boy. This was a heinous and cowardly act, and given what we now know about what took place, the FBI is investigating it as an act of terrorism. Anytime bombs are used to target innocent civilians, it is an act of terror. What we don't yet know, however, is who carried out this attack or why, whether it was planned and executed by a terrorist organization, foreign or domestic, or was the act of a malevolent individual. That's what we don't yet know, and clearly we're at the beginning of our investigation. It will take time to follow every lead and determine what happened. But we will find out. We will find whoever harmed our citizens, and we will bring them to justice. We also know this. The American people refuse to be terrorized, because what the world saw yesterday in the aftermath of the explosions were stories of heroism and kindness and generosity and love. Exhausted runners who kept running to the nearest hospital to give blood, and those who stayed to tend to the wounded, some tearing off their own clothes to make tourniquets, the first responders who ran into the chaos to save lives, the men and women who are still treating the wounded at some of the best hospitals in the world, and the medical students who hurried to help, saying, "When we heard, we all came in." The priests who opened their churches and ministered to the hurt and the fearful, and the good people of Boston who opened their homes to the victims of this attack and those shaken by it. So if you want to know who we are, what America is, how we respond to evil, that's it. Selflessly, compassionately, unafraid.
President Obama at the White House.
In the coming days, we will pursue every effort to get to the bottom of what happened, and we will continue to remain vigilant. I've directed my administration to take appropriate security measures to protect the American people, and this is a good time for all of us to remember that we all have a part to play in alerting authorities. If you see something suspicious, speak up. I have extraordinary confidence in the men and women of the FBI, the Boston Police Department, and the other agencies that responded so heroically and effectively in the aftermath of yesterday's events. I'm very grateful for the leadership of Governor Patrick and Mayor Menino, and I know that even as we protect our people and aggressively pursue this investigation, the people of Boston will continue to respond in the same proud and heroic way that they have thus far. And their fellow Americans will be right there with them. Thank you very much. And you can expect further briefings from our law enforcement officials as the day goes on. When we have more details, they will be disclosed. What I've indicated to you is what we know now. We know it was bombs that were set off. We know that, obviously, they did some severe damage. We do not know who did them. We do not know whether this is the act of an organization or an individual or individuals. We don't have a sense of motive yet. So everything else at this point is speculation. But as we receive more information, as the FBI has more information, as our counterterrorism teams have more information, we will make sure to keep you and the American people posted. All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
President Obama at the White House. We've just been listening to him live, stepping away as a number of people try to shout questions at the president there. Many questions as yet unanswered as the president walks away from the podium, making a statement there describing yesterday's attack on the Boston Marathon as a heinous and cowardly act. We don't yet know who is responsible, he said. He named some of the possibilities, that it was a terror group, either foreign or domestic. He named the possibility that it was an individual, but stressed again that we really do not know who is responsible here. Went on to say that appropriate security measures were being taken by his administration to protect the American people. The president also taking time to remember the victims and noting that one of the dead is an 8-year-old boy. We have a number of correspondents to discuss what we've just heard and to try to wrap up what we've been hearing throughout the morning about yesterday's attack. And let's begin with NPR's counterterrorism correspondent, Dina Temple-Raston. She's been talking with law enforcement officials and also listening to news conferences this morning and trying to piece together what she hears publicly and what she hears privately. And Dina, what did you learn from what the president just said?
Well, he pretty much left every possibility open, saying that he doesn't know and hasn't been told who or why this happened, whether it's a foreign group or a domestic group or even, and in his words, the plan of a malevolent individual.
Malevolent,
that's what what he said was what I have been hearing from my sources, that they are following leads, but they do not have any concrete evidence of who might have been behind this. They seem to be trending towards some sort of domestic individual, someone who may have a beef with the United States in a more domestic manner, but they really don't know who it is yet. And
Dina, in listening to you, I get a sense that the simplicity of this attack, the fact that these were not very sophisticated devices that were simply left in a crowd that was there to be targeted, the simplicity of the attack actually makes it more difficult for law enforcement officials to have any initial hunches or leads as to who it might be.
My understanding is the explosive devices were what they called generic, which means they will be hard to track and trace. As a general matter, explosive devices at work and bomb makers make it a particular way every single time. If they didn't blow their hands off the first time they made the bomb, they twist the wires three times every time. Mm. There are no signatures like that on these bombs that they've found yet. And they also have sort of this cautionary tale from 1996. You recall the Eric Rudolph case. This was the bombing at the Atlanta Olympics when they it's very similar bombs. This was a backpack bomb, a pipe bomb, and they assumed it was a secure. They came to a conclusion that it was a security guard named Richard Jewell, and it ended up being wrong. And it took them months to find out that in fact it was a man named Eric Rudolph.
That's NPR's Dina Temple-Raston. And Dina, stay with us if you can. We want to turn now to our White House correspondent, Ari Shapiro, who just listened into what the president had to say. Are you with us?
Hi, David. Yeah, I am right here.
Tell me, these are very big moments for a president. I mean, people are looking to him to reassure them, but it must be frustrating because the president doesn't have many firm answers to offer. Or if he does,
that's
behind
right.
the scenes, he can't say them publicly.
That's right. We've now heard from him twice in 24 hours, and both times the overwhelming message was, we don't know what's happened yet. This is still very early. There was obviously a message of condolence and solidarity, and he called attention to the heroic acts of first responders, medical students and doctors, people of the cloth, men and women of faith who opened their churches and so on. But he really, when it comes to the meat of what is happening and why it happened, he emphasized what we don't know more than what we do.
And what are you hearing about what's happening in the White House? Who's briefing the president and what his plans are? What can he really do here?
Well, he's, instructing everybody to give as much support as needed to the federal, as much federal support as needed to the state and local authorities. He's been briefed by FBI Director Robert Mueller, the Attorney General Eric Holder, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, his counterterrorism advisor Lisa Monaco. These briefings happened last night, overnight, and again into this morning. And he says he's instructing them to mobilize and deploy all law enforcement resources to protect citizens and investigate and respond to this attack.
I suppose, Ari Shapiro, we should not be too surprised. The president did not give us a lot of news there. We heard from experts earlier in the morning, people who had been involved in National Security Councils in the past, reminding us that that's not actually the president's job. It's not the president's role to be announcing news. And with the exception of perhaps the attack that killed Osama bin Laden, it's exceedingly rare that a president would put the news out first in a criminal matter like this. He'd rather someone else lead, and then he can respond to it. And I suppose that's what we're hearing here.
That's right. The president's not leading this investigation. The FBI is. The president's being kept abreast of this investigation. But his role in a moment like this is really to sort of, you know, be a face and voice of calm and of leadership for the country, but not to say, here's what we know, here's the breaking evidence, here's what investigators have just uncovered.
And Ari, I know the position you're in. I mean, reporters at the White House are desperate to get some questions in. That opportunity wasn't given. If you were able to get some questions, what would be on your mind? What would you be asking the president right now?
You know, we'd all have a detailed analysis of what exactly happened between 3 p.m. and this morning at the White House. You know, we know that the security perimeter around the White House was extended. We were told that was because of an abundance of caution, not because of any specific threats. Also, both times the president has spoken, he has asked people to remain vigilant. This morning, just now, he said, if you see something suspicious, speak up. I'd be curious to know whether he has any intelligence or has been briefed about any ongoing threats that people should be aware of.
That does suggest the fact that extra security measures have been taken even at the White House does suggest it lends some credibility to the idea that authorities really don't know precisely what they're facing here and don't know if there might be something else out there to worry about.
That's right. And, you know, we were scheduled actually to have a briefing with White House spokesman Jay Carney today. When they announced this statement, they simultaneously canceled the briefing. And since the president didn't take any questions either, we really have not had any chance to ask questions of people at the White House and have them answer on the record.
I want to bring in another voice to our conversation here. NPR's Jeff Brady has been covering this story in Boston, and he is on the line with us next. And Jeff, this is not the only news conference we've had this morning. There was a much longer news conference today involving a number of Massachusetts and federal officials, including Thomas Menino, the mayor of Boston. And he made a rather striking statement, Jeff, in that he talked about his city being tough, being resilient, and working through this. Do you feel like you're in a city that is working through this tragedy right now?
Absolutely. We've been talking to commuters all morning here, and there's sort of a theme that has emerged. I don't know if people were getting this message, you know, through the radio or through television, but a lot of people we talked to, they said, I didn't want to change my plans this morning. I wanted to go to work just as I normally would on a Tuesday. I didn't want somebody planting a bomb at the finish line of the Boston Marathon to change my plans today. So I'm here, I'm on the train, and I'm going to work.
I wonder if this is a situation where people have experience with tragedy at this point. I mean, people remember 9/11, and this is a horrible incident, but not of the scale of 9/11. And it's something that perhaps people have internalized on some level, and they sense what they want to do.
Of course, and didn't we all, weren't we all affected by that? We all thought about what we might do under that situation. So I think the whole country has had an opportunity to think how you would respond, and people in Boston are responding by saying, I'm not going to change my plans. I'm going to work today, although clearly not everyone is doing that because we're in downtown Boston, and while there are a lot of people on mass transit today, ridership is not as high as it normally would be on a Tuesday. But the folks who are out with a message, and they said, I'm going to continue with my plan.
Jeff Brady, stay with us if you can. We also have Tovia Smith, NPR's Tovia Smith, with us on the line in Boston. And Tovia, we're talking about a significant number of injuries, more than 170 people wounded. What are we learning from hospitals and how they are handling the situation right now in the city?
I spoke to a hospital president this morning who they've just been overrun. All of these folks who are on staff there are saying they've never seen anything like this in terms of quantity or severity, but also talking about the spirit of those around here. You know, he said that there were folks on their day off enjoying Patriots Day, Marathon Monday, at the finish line, folks who reported right in immediately to the hospital, what can we do to help? So it was all hands on deck. There have been multiple grave injuries and amputations required. As one doctor put it, it was the blast, the injuries were so severe, limbs ripped off nearly entirely. And as he put it, we were just finishing the job that the bomb started.
I'm reminded, as you talk, Tovia, of a statement, an official statement yesterday, in which one of the authorities said every resource in the state of Massachusetts is on the way to this spot. I would imagine people have what they need to deal with the wounded, to deal with everything else at this time.
Well, in so many different departments, so to speak. There are counselors on hand. That has been set up in the city, a support center for victims, for witnesses, for anybody who needs help down there, but also investigators. I mean, they've called in. There are more on the way today, we understand. And the heart of the city remains a crime scene. It is cordoned off. It is still a fluid investigation. Last night, officials seemed to be a little bit more skittish, a little bit more confident this morning that the site is now secure, contrary to what they reported yesterday. They say there are no devices found beyond the two that exploded. Mm-hmm. But there's still a real threat, and they're urging caution and as well as vigilance. They say keep your eyes open. They say the public health, every single one of them who speaks says public health, as the president did, is critical to the investigation. They have already got reams of footage from the area. You can only imagine how many cameras were rolling down there. And even as wounded were still being cleared from the area, they say officers were out collecting videotape from businesses that were running, as well as from spectators there, obviously. And now, they say they're going through that frame by frame.
Now, Tovio, you mentioned that there was a change in the facts as they were understood, that people have decided there were fewer explosive devices. That's an occasion, I think, now to bring back NPR's Dina Temple-Rest and to round out this segment. Dina, let's just talk through what is known about what happened yesterday from about 3 o'clock onward, and I guess we can start with knowing that there were 2 explosive devices planted and no more.
There were 2 explosive devices that were planted about 100 feet apart, very close to the finish line, and they went off about 10 seconds apart. We know that there was a third suspicious package that the bomb techs actually blew up themselves. That's why we heard there was maybe other devices. In fact, there was no explosive in this package. They just thought there might be.
Is it known how these devices were detonated? Were they remotely controlled? Is that understood?
It's unclear. We can't confirm that they were remotely detonated with a cell phone, but there were certainly some indications that that was one of the things that they were checking out yesterday.
Okay, so 2 explosive devices, no more, relatively simple devices, improvised explosive devices is the phrase that people are using. Why is that a significant phrase?
Well, it's sort of a term of art, I would say. It depends on which bomb tech you talk to. But when you talk about bombs, they're more sophisticated. When you talk about an improvised explosive device, I just think it's more descriptive. I mean, you get an idea that it's not something that necessarily looks like a bomb. It's put together with household materials, things that you might be able to get at a hardware store. It's just a totally different kind of device. And in fact, the device that went off in 1996 during the Olympic Games, that was an improvised explosive device, a pipe bomb.
And Dina, we should say that Atlanta case is sort of a lesson in how long this might take to solve and figure out who's responsible for this.
Yes, it appears from the people that I'm talking to, they may be a little bit further along in terms of yesterday they were talking about months. It could take months to get to the bottom of this.
And again, President Obama spoke at the bottom of the hour here about 20 minutes ago, a brief statement in which he said, "We do not yet know who is responsible for what he called a heinous and cowardly act," although he promised that the United States would find whoever was responsible, whether they were someone foreign or domestic, a terror group or an individual. And we are continuing to cover this right here on Morning Edition from NPR News. And Dina Temple-Raston, where does the investigation go now?
Well, I think that they're continuing to interview people. We know that there are both local police and FBI agents who have fanned out to local area hospitals to talk to people who were there when the bombing happened. We know there are some investigations going on in the outlying areas of Boston.
Okay.
You know, this is a very long and drawn-out process.
All right, and we'll bring you more as we learn it right here on Morning Edition and throughout the day, later today on All Things Considered as well as Here and Now coming out of Boston. You are listening now to Morning Edition from NPR News.